This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, we've gotten through the holiday season, and we've all enjoyed time, hopefully, with family and with friends. We ourselves spent some time out in the Denver, Colorado area, and we were very fortunate in that we were able to go before the snow, before it got real bad with snow and ice, and we came back just before it got bad with snow and ice. And now we've been back for a week or so, and we're trying to get back into the swing of things. As you know, we have broken away from our sequence going through Genesis and dealing now with Joseph in order to spend just a little time on Christmas and the New Year's. And we did that by trying to show the value of prophecy and convincing us that this Jesus was the very Christ, both with regard to his birth and then again with regard to his crucifixion. We have seen how that the Bible was written, the events that took place when the Lord came had been written in the Bible 400 to 700 years before those events actually occurred. And it gives us great confidence in the Bible. And now I want to go back to Genesis and pick up where we've left off with Joseph, because while there's been an emphasis upon the birth of Christ and the birth of the Lord Jesus in the holiday season, yet many people are not acquainted with how important the Old Testament stories, the Old Testament histories, the Old Testament law is with regard to our understanding of the Lord Jesus. And so as we go through the Old Testament, we look for the Lord Jesus in type and picture. And as we come into the New Testament, we see him coming and revealing himself to mankind. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we come down in that passage, and it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we come to the epistles, which tell us how to please the Lord. And then we come to the book of the Revelation, which is the rest of the story, as we begin to think of the victory that Christ is going to have. He appeared to be a loser at the cross, even though he was victorious over death through the resurrection. But he will be an actual victor in war when he comes the second time to redeem this earth. And so we like to look at all these things, and Joseph is going to be a help to us in understanding a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And that's what these programs are all about, helping us to understand who the Lord Jesus really is, why he came, and how we can be sure he's our Savior, and how we can trust him to put away our sins so that we can have a home in heaven for all eternity. And not only a home in heaven for all eternity, but blessing on this earth as he watches out for us. Because as we go through this story with Joseph, we see the providence of God watching out for his people. And if we're saved, we are his spiritual people, and the Lord never forsakes his own. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And again, remember, this program, as well as a weekly meditation, can be found on my website. But now I want to go to Genesis chapter 45 and read from verse 8, which says, now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Now what we're coming to here is a fulfillment of Joseph's dreams, as found in chapter 37. Joseph dreamed dreams, and those dreams had to do with the fact that one day his mother and his father and his brothers and his sisters would all bow down before him. And of course, that's one of the reasons why his brothers hated him and tried to destroy him and ultimately sold him into slavery. But Joseph sees the providence of God in what takes place. And isn't it true that oftentimes we don't understand why things happen in our life, but when we begin to see all of the events unfold, then we begin to see God's hand was in it. Even before I was reached and saved with the gospel, I can see God's preserving hand in saving me from physical danger. I see God's providence in raising me in a home where I heard the gospel. I see God's providence in putting me in a country where I would learn to read so that I could study the Bible for myself. I see the providence of God leading me to a point where I would be able to come and trust in the Lord Jesus. That's not to say that God made me trust in the Lord Jesus, but he certainly gave me every opportunity to do so, and he made sure that he paved the road in front of me so that I would be able to trust in the Lord Jesus. And if I had turned away from the Lord Jesus, I would certainly have been like those in Romans who were without excuse. And so I believe that that's basically true of everyone in my listening audience. There may be people in the world who don't have a clear understanding of the gospel, but here in the United States, we do. And we need to understand that the things that happen in our life are not happening randomly. But even though Satan attacks the things of God, the Lord himself has really arranged the events in such a way that he will be glorified, and so that each individual listening to my voice today has the opportunity to make sure they're in heaven by trusting in the message of the gospel, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul could tell us that. He says he was the chiefest of sinners, but he was not the only sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so when the Lord went to the cross, it was not because Satan was winning. It was the providence of God in providing a sacrifice that would satisfy God on our behalf. And that's why I ended up, I think 3 weeks ago, with this verse, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God." And I want to emphasize that again right now. God is in the business of arranging the affairs of mankind. Now, he's given Satan authority. He's allowed him free will to deceive within limits. I shouldn't say free will. He's allowed him within limits to deceive the world. But ultimately, God is going to be the victor, and the things that happen in life are not happening by chance. God knows all about those things that are happening. So then he says, "He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There will I provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here.'" And I want to linger there on verse 13. "You shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt." Now again, Egypt speaks of this world. And the Lord came into this world to seek and to save the lost. But once we're saved, once we are children of God, our true worship is found in verse 13. We come together oftentimes to remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. It's a simple thing that the Lord has asked us to do. And if we are truly saved, we want to thank the Lord for his son and for what the loaf of bread and the cup of wine represent at the time that we take it. Those are only symbols of the sacrifice that the Lord made for us. He gave his body. He spilled his blood. And so when we take the bread and the wine, we are memorializing what he did. And when we do that, And when we preach the gospel and when we pray, we should always remember to tell the Father about the glory of his Son. And we can't do that if he doesn't mean anything to us. But if he does mean something to us, one way to tell the Father about the glory of his Son is to thank the Father for sending him. Thank the Father that he was willing in an eternity past to make plans for the events that took place in the Garden of Eden when Eve fell and partook of the forbidden fruit and Adam followed her. And he had it in eternity past, a plan in place that would allow sinners to be saved. And the Lord was the one who would be glorified, and the Father's glorified through the Son, and the Son's glorified through the Father. They all want us to understand their value. They want us to understand who they are. And when we tell the Father about his Son, we are doing what pleases the Father. If a father is told that his son is doing a good job at work, that he's excelling in school, that he's excelling at sports, there's nothing that makes the heart of a father gladder than to hear others speak well of their sons. And of course, mothers are bursting with pride too when they hear that their sons are doing well. But in this case, we have just a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so true worship is found here. Tell my Father of all my glory. Tell my Father of all my glory in Egypt. And in this case, of course, the Lord did have glory. His beauty was, and his essence was perhaps covered while he was here. It wasn't as obvious to the human eye that he was the Son of God, and so he veiled some of his glory, but he also showed his glory in all the things that he did, in his compassion and in his grace and in his ability to heal and to be kind and to then ultimately offer himself as a sacrifice at the cross. And his ultimate glorification was in the resurrection when God raised him from the dead. That was the ultimate glorification of Christ. Glorification has to do with showing forth his excellencies. And because he didn't die for his own sins but died for us, his ultimate glory in Egypt was seen in an empty tomb. And yes, we who are saved, we rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice in what we are doing for God, though I hope we're doing much for God, but we rejoice in what the Lord has done for us and how he has pleased the Father in doing that. And we like it when we can worship and tell the Father all about the glories of his Son in Egypt. Now, we trust you know the Lord and can praise him in that way. Now, our God and our Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon our listeners and upon thy program, this program, and we trust that it has in some way blessed those who have listened, but most of all that it has glorified thy Son. We thank thee for him in his own worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.